There's one book a football player carries around with him pretty much all the time. It's filled with X's and O's and running plays and signals, and some of it's kind of boring at times. But it's must reading because it holds the key to Super Bowl victory. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. At the close of our program today, Lonnie's going to share an opportunity for you to receive a copy of a classic book loved by millions. It's entitled Mere Christianity. It's by C.S. Lewis. But first, today's message, reading the playbook every day.
Parenthood was a film a number of years ago that explored the relationship difficulties of one extended family, and there were some keen insights there that really translate eloquently into a person's Christian life. There's one scene where a young Martha Plimpton, who's been dating boyfriend Keanu Reeves, has run off and gotten married. Now, just a few days later, she's back home with Mommy. Her husband's so stupid. He's so immature. She can't stand him any longer. She's through with the whole thing. Well, 2 seconds later, here comes her gum-chewing bridegroom of 3 days. Oh, baby doll, I'm so sorry, he tells her. I still love you, etc., etc. They get back together. But you get the feeling it's going to be quite a roller coaster ride. And that scene of quick giving up reminds me of what Christians go through, especially as they begin the process of getting to know God. Last week we shared a spiritual prescription for the new and growing Christian. Do you remember those 17 words? Take time alone at the beginning of every day to seek Jesus through Bible study and prayer. Now, there's one problem with this prescription. It's hard to do. We've been saying for 2 weeks that God is the one who saves. He's the one who draws us and leads us to the moment of surrender. But now that we've made a commitment to Him and are determined to spend time each day getting to know Him, we find that this can be a hard thing to do. Listen, getting acquainted with God is not something that comes naturally to people living on this particular planet. It runs absolutely contrary to our human nature. Do you recall some of the spiritual nuggets we found in the book, Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer? He has one line that rings so true. To know God is at once the easiest and the most difficult thing in the world. I want to focus on just two words with you today, Bible study. Unfortunately, both of those are hard words. I already know what you think of the word study, and the word Bible sometimes isn't the most exciting in the dictionary either. But friend, if we're going to get to know Jesus, we're going to find Him in the Bible. That's where the story is told. That's where you experience fellowship with the new Lord of your life. Jesus Himself in John chapter 5 said to the Jews concerning the Bible, "These are the scriptures that testify about Me." So you and I are going to begin reading our Bibles. And we're especially going to be digging in them looking for Jesus. I think just keeping that perspective front and center will immediately make it a bit easier. More about that in a moment. First things first. We get one enormously helpful suggestion from our spiritual prescription. Take time alone at the beginning of every day. Not 2 days a week or every other day or only on days when it's raining. At the beginning of every day. Now here's a question. On which days do you need Jesus? On which days do you need to depend on God's power? Every third day or every February 29? Or do you need Jesus Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Here's another point. Have you noticed that bad habits are bad and that good habits are good? Many, many new and seasoned Christians have noticed that if they began a program of daily Bible study and kept with it for a while, it didn't get harder, it got easier. That's great news. Many of us here at the Voice of Prophecy are really celebrating. Reading the Bible on a daily basis is a good habit that grows in its delight. The hard parts become easier, and the easy parts become richer. You'll remember that last week we reflected on Morris Vinden's emphatic personal suggestion about how the morning is the best time to meet with God. I won't reiterate that today except to say that by all means, do whatever it takes to strengthen Bible study as a habit. Every day, same place, same time, same chair or garden bench. My producer, David Smith, has found a routine that really is blessing his life. He and his wife, Lisa, are both runners. They get out on the road about 5 a.m. while the streets are empty and it's still cool, and they do a 6-mile run. Takes them just under an hour. Then David has his morning shower, and by about 6:15, he's ready to settle into a favorite chair and study the Bible. And he's told me, "Lonnie, after staggering out of bed and doing those 6 miles and having a shower, sitting down to read the Bible is actually a treat. It's a lot more fun than that run is. I'm all invigorated and mentally alert, and by 6:45 in the morning, I've already accomplished 2 important chunks in my day." Well, friend, let me address something else that even a novice Bible student has discovered. Whole sections of the Bible are hard. Some versions of the Bible are difficult, maybe almost impossible to comprehend. So how do we cope? Well, Dr. Tony Evans has a fascinating chapter in his sports-oriented Christian bestseller, The Victorious Christian Life. He describes the Bible as the playbook for the Christian student, just like an NFL player carries around. Now, those notebooks filled with X's and O's and pass patterns and diagrams might be kind of boring. Necessary, but boring. And he says this about the Bible, and I'm quoting, "The truth is, studying the Bible is sometimes like eating vegetables. They don't do a thing for your taste buds, but they'll work wonders in your bloodstream." And then he adds a P.S. "As you study, you should be looking for the new lesson God wants to teach you about himself." I think that's helpful, don't you? As you're studying, keep asking yourself, "What's in here that I can use today?" And let me tell you something. Some days you'll feel like all your reading was for nothing. Nothing seems to apply. In one eye and out the other. Well, that's okay. Marriage communication is the same way sometimes, isn't it? But I've been amazed at the times when I was reading, following a schedule right through the Bible, and lo and behold, God would have me arrive at a certain passage on the very day that I needed it most. On a day when I was tempted to hold a grudge, here'd be a verse on forgiveness. During a time when we might wonder how the voice of prophecy can possibly meet its 1996 airtime budget, God would have me read something like, "My strength is sufficient for thee," or, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," or, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Incredible! Is it just luck that I happen to be cruising right up to Philippians chapter 4 when I'm needing that verse? No, friend. I believe with all my heart that God participates with us when we enter our study chamber and open up the Bible. Now, here's another suggestion. If one version of the Bible doesn't work for you, by all means, buy another version, or two, or three. It can be absolutely fascinating to read two versions side by side and pick up the different nuances that are present. Some renditions you'll understand are better for serious study, while other looser paraphrases are acceptable for devotional reading. But make a serious effort to find a version that meets your need, that resonates with where you are right now. In addition, I certainly recommend that you invest in good, thoughtful Christian books that supplement the Bible. The Bible comes first, of course. We in the Christian faith boldly declare the Bible and the Bible only as our rule of faith. But you know, I believe God has guided the minds of many thoughtful, dedicated men and women whose insights can beautifully add to what God has said to us in the Bible through those 66 books that we call the Holy Scriptures. Now, during this series, you've noticed how often we've mentioned Morris Vinden's book, To Know God, A 5-Day Plan. I'd be willing to predict that many thousands of men and women, especially young people, have found a new commitment to Jesus Christ through that book. If you don't have it, by all means, call or write to us, and friend, we'll send it to you right away, a free copy. Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. You know, that's a Voice of Prophecy favorite as well. Steps to Christ by E.G. White. These are both classics, and they lead you to a deeper understanding of the Bible itself. You know, something wonderful happens when you stick with it and don't give up your study after 3 days. I read a great paragraph from a book entitled Knowing the Face of God by Tim Stafford. Listen. The Bible does not automatically bring life and inspiration to everyone who reads it, any more than pictures of my wife and children automatically bring fond thoughts to anyone who looks at them. It is only when we live in relationship to people whose images are recorded in a photograph that we can love them through it. It is only when we live in relationship to the living Jesus that we can see and hear Him through the Scriptures. 2 points as we close. Friend, the things you learn early on in your walk with Jesus will become hooks that new things and new ideas can connect to. You'll read something in a good book 1 week, and then next week as you read your Bible, a fresh idea will suddenly have new meaning. In that sense, Bible study becomes easier, not harder, as time goes by. And secondly, and this is what Stafford was really talking about, friend, make your Bible study an intense search for Jesus. As you get to know Jesus as a friend, the Bible literally springs to life. Stories about Jesus have new meaning because this is your friend. Verses about His power ring in your heart because you've experienced that power. The Bible becomes like that photo album that all of a sudden is interesting because you are part of the family.
Thank you so much, Lonnie. Friend, you are part of God's family, and that makes Bible reading so much more meaningful. Now, we have another gift book that holds real meaning for many, many believers as well. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. For your gift of just $5 or more to help cover the cost, we'd love to mail you this thought-provoking classic volume. Here's our address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. For you listening in Canada, it's Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Jot it down, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us at 1-800-872-0055 with a credit card donation of $5 or more. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Lonnie?
Thank you, Ken. Well, it's camp meeting time all across North America, and our Voice of Prophecy teams hope to meet many of you in person all across the United States and Canada. By the way, do you remember this line from a popular song? Operator, get me heaven on the line. Tomorrow we'll talk about prayer and its role in building our new trust relationship with God. By the way, Mere Christianity is a book every believer should read, so do let us hear from you, won't you? Till tomorrow, this is Lonnie Melashenko, reminding you that it's always true, friend. God loves you.
We are drowning in bad news. Back in April, a newsman introduced his report on a bomb blast in Spokane with the words, "Bombs are altogether too much in the news these days." He was right. We are frustrated and angered. That same day, the newspaper headline read, "Rampaging gunman slaughters 32," and told of the slaughter in Australia. At lunch, a group of us got to talking about our outrage at what is happening. One man said, "I was tempted to buy a ticket to Australia and take care of that monster myself." Have you ever felt that way? Ever been so outraged, so furious at some injustice that you dreamed of handling vengeance yourself? God understands our heart cry for justice. God is merciful and forgiving, but He warns that He will not overlook guilt. He will punish those who do not repent of their evil, and the punishment will be proportional to the enormity of their crime. God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And He'll do a better job than you can. He's a far better accountant of right and wrong than we can ever be. So let's leave vengeance to the expert. Let's trust His judgment. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.